This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's actually sad.
Why?
I get that you haven't won a World Series game in 15 years.
Okay.
The over the top. Like, again, last night was a great night. You better to win than lose, and you avoid embarrassment getting swept.
Okay.
The Yankees are down 3-1. They were down 0-3.
Yeah, and they're staying alive. I think you're taking it a little too literally there, buddy.
No, not just the song. Like, the song is fine. I'm talking about in general. It went from most people feeling like reality, like it's over.
Before yesterday.
Correct. To now. You heard it from Susan. You heard Yankee fans calling.
You know what I think it is? I think it's more that there's a real confidence that it's going back to L.A. I think if you separate the two things,
right,
and they're two very different things at this point.
Yeah, understood. I wouldn't have been stunned about that before last night. Like, we talked about it. This is a, like, you look at these games now, it doesn't always work out like that on paper,
yeah,
which is why I think maybe tonight goes the other way. But you could make a legitimate case, even down 0-3, that this could go to game six very easily. And here we are. The Yankees did the first part check. And tonight, on paper, they should have the advantage with Cole, a healthy Cole, against Flaherty, who's not good on 4 days rest. Like, they are at home. Their bullpen's been great.
Yeah.
But, all right, I can't separate the two because it's one series. Like, so are we going to take victory laps because it gets to game six now?
No, there's no victory laps. I mean, I can't speak for other people. It's an excitement that the season's not over. Nothing less, nothing
right.
more. If I needed three things going into this game, like, all right, what would give me, and they're fairly bigger picture, not like little details, mm-hmm. like three things I would want for this game. All right, number one, are the bats waking up? I know Judge hasn't woken up yet, but the answer is yes. Number two, and I could even put this number one, but I'll just put it two here. Is Gerrit Cole on the hill? Yeah, he's our best pitcher. Now, he's not quite what he was a year ago. I'm not saying that he is, but he's still our best pitcher, and you'll go to battle with that. And the third, I know Flaherty was good in game one, but I think the Yankees seeing him a second time. Listen, the Yankees strike out. The Yankees hit a lot of home runs, but the Yankees are very adept at drawing walks and forcing teams, even good teams, get into their bullpen. So I think you have a team with a fairly good IQ in terms of plate discipline when they're going well. I think that Flaherty throws a lot of pitches, and the numbers support the fact that 4 days rest, he's not that good. I think his back might be a little bit jacked up, hence the 3.5 mile per hour velo drop going into game one, again, which he did pitch well. But I don't think it's anything more than this, Sal. Your ace is on the mound, Yankees hitting a little bit, and, you know, Flaherty's not Fernando in 81 or Hershiser in 88. And when you're down 3-0, I mean, you got to grasp at something.
Right.
And right now, it's suddenly 3-1 with a real chance to be 3-2.
The way that, and I forget the exact scenario. Well, no, I do remember this. Even just to give you perspective from a Mets fan perspective where I'm consistent with this,
mm-hmm.
in series where you go down 0-3, or you could go to the Rangers, because remember the Rangers, and I went to the one game that they won, which must have been game four at the Garden Stanley Cup final, where they were down 0-3 in the series. Once you're down 0-3, it takes a lot of steam out. 1999, Mets, Braves, NLCS. Down 0-3, for me, it took steam out. So much so that I think the Robin Ventura Grand Slam single is one of the most overrated moments in the history of the Mets. Because it happened to force a game six in a series where I never felt like after being down 0-3, they were going to win.
Okay.
And maybe we could have something. So from that perspective, like, I, even as a Mets fan back then, was I happy that they won? Sure. You know, game four to get it to game five, then the Ventura single, sure. But ultimately, like, down 0-3, I knew the end result eventually. Now, it doesn't mean that you root for your team to lose and you can't get excited about it, but it felt, it did feel to me from afar that it went from, oh, it's over, to now they win one game and everything is right. And even in that game last night, the Yankees won by 7 runs. There still, to me, was some signs of maybe not everything is right.
Well, I look at it this way, too. I think it's okay. I matter of fact, I think on some level, unless you're betting money,
yeah,
and then obviously that's going to change what you do, I think it's okay to suspend a little reality. I think that's what being a fan's all about. Now, I think suspending reality, say in May, like if you know you've got glaring issues, whether it's just no starting staff or, you know, sticks are weak, and you're like, hey, we're going to go to the World Series. Like that's abnormally suspending reality. Right now, we've all seen the Yankees win 4 straight many times this season. Now, but also, you know, the difference with this Yankee team is, unlike years past when they had moments of real concern, those guys, not that it always worked out, 0-1-0-3, obviously, and even 97, but they had so much synergy together and so much. They accomplished so much together, and they know how to win together. You know, this group is new, is fresh. I mean, you got 3, 4, 5 new pieces here. So I don't blindly say Yanks are winning. Matter of fact, I would be stunned if they win 4 straight.
Right. Okay.
I really would be. Like, I'm trying not to allow my mind to go there because I don't want that reality to set in.
Exactly.
I want to enjoy this. My team has not been to the World Series since 2009. They haven't won it since 2009. Been a long, long time, and I know there's a baseball game tonight at my team's crib, and I'm just taking it day by day.
As you should. That's a different way to look at it. I'm looking at it, you know, as a broadcaster, as opposed to, you know, wanting to suspend reality from a fan's perspective. Let me give you one thing from last night, which is why I would still be concerned about the bats not being fully awoken yet.
Okay.
Bottom of the fifth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Judge gets 5-4 game now.
Yep.
It went from Volpe grand slam, everybody thinking, you know, the game's going to be an easy Yankee win.
Is this when Volpe had the base running mistake? I'm trying to, because when you're at the game, you just...
No,
you
I know, it's harder.
That's crazy.
No, this is, I'll read you the play-by-play go over. But 5-4, Dodgers tack on a couple, or add a couple of runs, cut the deficit to just a run. 5-4, bottom five.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bottom, okay, gotcha.
Judge reaches on an error. Edmund makes that error.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz walks.
Yep.
First and second.
Yes, I almost tweeted. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time tweeting at the World Series. That was too often a problem for them this year.
On John
and the last 10 years.
Correct. So in this game, now just play it out for a second. So they have the 1-run lead, the Yankees do. First and second, nobody out. Stanton strikes out.
Yeah,
unproductive out.
Very
Whereas
unproductive.
Whereas maybe the Dodgers, at the very least, move the runners over, tack on another run there, make it 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe the Wells homers make it 7-4, and now you start. Either way, you got to score a run there. Stanton strikes out. Rizzo flies out. Volpe, the hero from last night, he flies out. Nothing across. It remains a 5-4 game. And then, of course, Wells hits the home run, bottom of the 6. Okay, 6-4, a little breathing room. Still a 2-run game where you could argue it should have been a bigger deficit until Honeywell is in there to take a beating in the bottom of the 8th inning, and the Yanks pull away. That's not going to happen tonight. If the Yankees do that in the 5th inning, which they've done for years, they're going to face tougher pitching tonight, a more potent Dodger team. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not just going to get caught up in the one inning.
I get it. You know, what I was saying last night, I was sitting next to, obviously, my son, but, you know, Marash was there and C-Mac. Nice to see C-Mac in normal hours.
That was awesome that you guys got to go. I saw your videos you sent me. That's great.
Yeah, thanks, man. We had a lot of fun. And you know, I see Sean more than Chris, but Chris is a great dude. And
a diehard Yankee. Like,
he's
legit.
Nuts.
Yeah, not like, that you are.
I was having fun and I was pumped up, but he's like stressed with every single, I'm like, wow. All right, so I said to him, because that is a good point of what they struggle with for years now. And he got first and second, nobody out. You're not going to run with Stanton up. But once Stanton went there, and that was not a very good at-bat, like it's one thing to strike out, it wasn't even a good strikeout, it was just kind of a real empty at-bat. And I said to, at first I said it to my son, then I said it to those guys. I said, hey, Judge, get a good secondary lead steal. You know that on the back end, nobody's throwing out Jazz Chisholm.
Yep.
And with those long legs, if you time it properly, and I'm watching the shortstop, I'm watching where Edmund is, I thought there was an opportunity to, if you time it properly and you have a great secondary lead, you could have stole third base, and then obviously second, and then Rizzo, just give me a productive out and you score a run. And the Yankees have run because Volpe stole third base last night, stole second as well.
Yeah, looked great.
Maybe they're a little reluctant to do that with Aaron Judge, whatever. But, yeah, that was, and I swear, if it wasn't the World Series, like, I just wanted to really, I did put one video out. I'm not going to, and I took pictures, but I'm not going to be tweeting away. I'm watching the game, man. I'm with my 9-year-old and a couple of workers who are friends. I'm having a beer. I'm watching the World Series. Waste my time tweeting and
right.
just take my.
Good move.
Exactly. I'm going to enjoy life, right? And at least try to. And but I was about to, and I was going to put a tweet out there about the situation. I'm like, nah, I'll just talk about it tomorrow. And they did fail. And listen, if it's 5-4, 4-3, 6-5, 7-6, 2-1 tonight, and they're not bringing in Honeywell or Rick Honeycutt or whatever the hell his name is, then it could come back to understood. That's why I know that this is going to be hard. There is no presumption of, hey, Canada heroes like the Liberty. I mean, this is going to be the tallest task in the history of the Yankees.
Right, right. I mean,
literally.
It's never happened in the history of the sport, an 0-3 deficit in the World Series. They got the first one. Let's see if they can get the next one tonight. Steve is in Bayside, Queens. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Steve?
I'm good. We're playing Staying Alive today, and I hope that we're playing Going Back to Cali from LL tomorrow.
Going back to Cali.
Now that I can get with. That will be
Cali.
Fun. And we promise you, if in fact the Yankees do win, we will play that tomorrow.
How about we open a show with that tomorrow? They'll make a notation, not that you know where to find that song, but just type, and you don't need apostrophes, Going Back to Cali. So just in your own words, just send yourself a little text and have it ready tomorrow when they win. Go ahead there, Stevie.
Okay. Susan was fantastic. She always is. I made a couple of points that I wanted to make about how Flaherty is not as good on regular rest and how Cole prefers regular rest. I think that's the explanation for some of his inconsistency during the playoffs this year. With that said, I think for the Yankees to have a chance to get back in the series and actually win it, they need an easy win today. You have to stay away from guys like Weaver and Holmes because the Dodgers have just seen them too much. And I know it's an elimination game. I know that they might have to use these guys, but I'm just saying what you're hoping that this is going to be an easy win. You can go to other guys in the bullpen, and that would set them up well when they do hopefully go back to Cali.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty interesting, although fairly common, is what baseball point, the more you see, the more you know what they have, and you see the break, and you see the bite, and you see the arm angles, and you see the motion. I get it. But they know the Yankees pitchers. I mean, everybody's seen each other at this point. It kind of is what it is.
If the Dodgers go do Blake Treinen again in a big spot against Aaron Judge, Judge is going to get him. He's going to make him pay. You heard Susan talk about it. We've been talking about it all series long. Treinen looks like he's toast. And he's been doing the same thing, especially if you leave him in against lefties, but in particular against Judge. He's using the slider or whatever, the sweeping breaking pitch that's been. Judge is going to tee off on one of them. So Roberts needs to change it up as far as the bullpen goes as well. I think both teams' pitching could be, again, I don't want to say starting to peter out a little bit, but yeah, I mean, the more the offenses get a look at these guys, then the more likely you would think the bats are going to get going. I think tonight is going to be a high-scoring game, and I just think the Dodgers have a more potent, more dangerous lineup, and the ability to tack on and move runners over and take the right base.
It was
a difference in the first three. Why wouldn't it be a difference in another game?
They're more buttoned up. I think they're more fundamentally sound than the Yankees. They got more guys who could probably create a little havoc or stress on the defense. Listen, the Yankees pitching, just in totality, has been very good this series, but the starting pitching has not been. I mean, Gerrit Cole was good in game one. Obviously, you know, Rodon gave up multiple meatballs in game two, and Clark Schmidt didn't get past the third in game three, and Luis Gil, even to start, he labored. It's funny, because I said at one point to C-Mac, he had 14 pitches in the first inning, and I'm guessing six or seven or eight later. I don't even know what he threw in the first inning, because the scoreboard was broken in Yankee Stadium.
Oh,
like that
annoying.
Part, you know how it gives you like the depth and the inches and the verticality on the and what pitch it was and miles per hour. So I didn't know how many pitches he was at, but I know he had a stressful first inning, and it's like he made it past five. So there's been one good starting pitching performance out of four so far, and tonight it's got to be two.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back. More calls. I have three things that I want to get to before we say goodbye today. One pertains to you and the Yankees. The other, we didn't really give our take on what went on in right field. And then another with the Dodgers. So three things that we got to get to and the calls as well. 888-808-1019. I think you, my friend, might be the key to this Game 5 tonight.
I'm listening.
You have seemed to have a bit of a golden touch lately.
Really?
Yes. I have three examples.
Okay.
Lindor.
That's true. I did wake him up. You're welcome, Met fans.
Stanton. When we both said it, but you...
Yeah, you got to look at...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A little assist on that. 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. But in this case, now you'd start to be a little bit of a pattern here, at least this year. So Stanton, we both said have him bench, whatever.
Uh-huh.
He went nuts.
He did.
And yesterday, you took Volpe to task.
I did.
And he went nuts. Now, for the betterment of the Yankees, maybe there's somebody you should rip today. And that they can go out there. You want to put this to the test? The BT Golden Touch?
I have no problem with this, but it can't be forced. So it is 125. I know
because these are all natural. You're right.
I got to think about this. It can't be on the... So I will, before we get out of here today, I will put somebody... I mean, blast is relative.
You did go a Cole a little bit earlier, but I don't know if that was enough.
I don't know if that's the main target there. And if it is, it wasn't enough. You're right. So we will get in the lab of fixing... And we will come back with something that will change the fortunes even more of the Yankees tonight. I'm glad you noticed that,
and
buddy.
And maybe if it worked. Well, with Volpe last night, I was like, geez. You know, because I see them. We do the show, but we rip a lot of people and we talk about a lot of things. And then I see it on digital posted out there.
I know. It's all
over. And it's like, BT says Volpe's never going to be a star. Volpe goes, he hits a grand slam right back. Stealing bases all over the place.
I know. Not even like an RBI double. A grand slam, multiple stolen bases, another rocket to left.
I was like, good.
Can't make that up.
We've had the uncanny ability. Like, we each have our moments here, but with Lindor and then Stan being benched and now Volpe yesterday, maybe we can...
Tap it into something here. Maybe we can profit on this as well, monetize it a little bit
more. So before we say goodbye, come up with what you got to say. We'll do that the last segment. Other things. Number one... We heard Susan's take on it. What'd you think of those idiots in right field grabbing Mookie Betts' glove, his arm, ball?
It's unacceptable. It's dirty. It is just, you know, I know that we take pride in being feisty and everything, but we don't take pride in doing that. That's just unacceptable. That is incredibly unbecoming and just unacceptable behavior. Do you remember the game when, I forget the year, but Gary Sheffield was chasing a ball down the right field line at Fenway? And you probably remember this, Dove. And he was kind of entangled with a few fans. And you actually see Gary Sheffield bring his fist back, like ready to clock somebody. And thank God, you know, restraint went out. You know, if Mookie Betts threw a hammer at somebody last night, he would have been within his right.
Because
you
could easily
snap her. I understand that. But then I think if you actually watch the film, if you see the replay... You know, I mean, you gonna break his wrist? I mean, what are we going out here for? I mean, that was ridiculously over the top.
Abhorrent behavior from the fans. Now, I thought that in real time. Then I read the article. Did you see the article?
I did. Go ahead. And then did you hear Gronk weigh in? Because I can give you that.
What
okay,
he say?
I'll get to Gronk. You give me the article.
So basically, they were just saying that, these guys, this was premeditated. They've thought about these scenarios before, having those seats as their Yankee Stadium season tickets, whatever. And if a ball ever comes in here, this is what we're going to do. We got to protect that wall, and we got to play D.
What?
Like, what, bro? You're a fan. You're fans. You're not in the game. And you certainly shouldn't be touching a player, you knuckleheads. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. This was premeditated. These guys thought that you're not playing in the game. Sit there and watch the game like everybody else and do not interfere or potentially try to injure somebody. Like, my goodness, I couldn't believe how despicable that was. Now, obviously, they got kicked out.
Yes.
And then Dove is saying now, you got this statement here?
I got it.
Are these fans allowed back in the stadium tonight?
I heard this. I'm going to read this now. Okay. Short. I heard this morning, I think, whether it was Jerry and the update or Boomer and Geo, that even though they were escorted out, rightfully so, that they would be allowed in tonight, which seems completely incongruent with what they did. But here's the statement. Let's get some clarity. So, all right. Quote, last night, two fans were ejected from Yankee Stadium for egregious and unacceptable physical contact with Dodgers outfielder Mookie Betts. The safety and security of players, fans, and stadium staff is the foundational element of every event held at Yankee Stadium, and it cannot be compromised. Tonight marks the final home game of the year. And we want every ounce of our fans' passion on display. Yankee Stadium is known for its energy and intensity. However, the exuberance of supporting one's team can never cross the line into intentionally putting other players at physical risk. The Yankees and Major League Baseball maintain a zero-tolerance policy toward this type of behavior displayed last night. There you go. These fans will not be permitted to attend tonight's game in any capacity.
Okay.
It's the only decision.
It's the right decision.
Yep.
I wasn't sure we were going to get that decision.
But it didn't sound like it was this morning.
Yeah,
so
it's right.
There you go.
Good. And now I'm not like, it doesn't sound like they're suspended for life or banned for life, which, I mean, I think Susan just said that before with us, right? She would ban them from life from going to the ballpark.
She did. Well, let me ask you this.
I don't know if I would do that because I do think people make mistakes and you hope that these guys genuinely learn what they did wrong from this.
They're not 5 years old.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But and here's the other thing. If you let them get away with it, then who's to say it wouldn't happen again? And if you establish a zero tolerance policy, like if you do that, you're out.
Yeah.
You can't go to these games, these World Series games that should be a privilege to go. I know it's a lot of money, but you get the point.
Yep.
So nobody else is going to do it. It's like, whoa, look at these guys got kicked out.
Yep.
Not only did they miss the game, but they can't go to a game, period.
Yeah, preemptively now dissuade others from doing the copycat thing. Let me ask you this, what do you think is worse? You know, somebody running on the field like a streaker, even if they're not even if they're naked, but, you know, you see these dopes, and I don't mean with, like, political signs. Like, they're not looking to hurt anybody. You got some drunk 22-year-old dope,
field.
You know, runs, and he just zigzags, and then he gets pounded by the security guard, you know, who used to be a linebacker, and you can't wait to crush him, right? That, or what these two guys, or what that gentleman did last night.
I think last night was probably the worst thing that I've seen. Like, when you're talking about, they were getting physical at the point. Now, they didn't punch Mookie Betts.
Yep.
They grabbed his glove.
I know.
One grabbed his glove. The other grabbed his other wrist and bare hand. They tried to rip the ball in the glove. You can't do that.
So your answer is that's worse than somebody just drunk running
on
the field.
Not only is it worse than the person who runs on the field, and there's obviously dangerous elements to both, but yeah, you're right. The majority of time, it's not like somebody's running out there looking to make contact with a player.
No.
They're just running out there because they're stupid and drunk and looking for attention, whatever. Hey, come chase
me. Social media, a bet.
It's bad. Yeah, it's bad. What happened last night was probably the worst thing I've ever seen from fans before.
Yes, because the next level is like there's an issue where police are really involved and God forbid somebody's really hurt. If you think about that, like where do you go from what they did do and what they tried to do last night a step ahead of that? Like it's now we're getting into real criminal, possibly lawsuit. I mean, it, thank God that didn't happen. But if you streak or if you run out, are you banned for life?
I mean,
don't you
get thrown in jail?
You do go to jail, yes.
These guys
definitely
last night
put you in jail.
They didn't go to jail, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, because they didn't trespass or whatever the word you want to use at the stadium.
Which is fair. You don't have to go. I mean, they did use physical.
I know. I asked that because if you run on the field and you are banned for life, then as we try to equivocate the two, then last night they should be banned for life
right.
as well.
Great point. I think either way, even though I do think what happened last night was worse than a fan running on the field, I think either way you should be banned for life from ever going to a sporting event, period. I don't know how you police that. Now, Hoff was saying, so these are season ticket holders for the Yanks.
Yeah.
Kicked out of the game last night, not getting their money back. Today, they were probably giving their money back, which is fine.
I heard they were going to get a refund. It was not in the statement, but I heard they're getting refunds.
Yeah,
well, okay, good.
Still,
that's fine.
Still, I mean, they're not paying to go to the game, but the issue is not the money. The issue is you're not allowed to go see the game. Think about these guys. They invest in season tickets.
Do they have season for the whole year?
I believe so, isn't it?
Huh? I didn't see that part. Okay,
I thought I read that in the article that they were season ticket holders, which would make sense because they sit there in that spot mm-hmm. all year long. And you do that in large part because you want to get the option to buy in the postseason. So it's not costing them thousands of dollars that it is costing other people on the secondary market.
That's right.
And now you just, because you wanted to be a hero, because you thought you were going to be some Yankee great fan.
The Jeffrey Mayer goon.
Yeah. You got
you're
kicked
the
out.
The goon hockey version of Jeffrey Mayer.
You got kicked out of game four and didn't even witness that.
Yeah.
And you can't go to game five, and you'd be lucky if you could ever buy a ticket again to Yankee Stadium.
I'm curious how they handled him going forward. Okay, so by the way, just a little house cleaning. The Sheffield incident, I didn't know if it was 05 or was it 2005. It was at Fenway where I referenced where he almost punched somebody and thankfully did not. And then I mentioned you. Did you see what Gronk said this morning on TV?
No, I didn't. No. What'd he say?
Listen, Gronk is funny, but this is typical meathead dopey Gronk response. I guess he went to school with the guy.
Oh, my God.
Arizona State. And the guy, I don't have his name in front of me, played hockey, right? And, you know, he's a physical guy. You play hockey, you got a little toughness to you. He's aggressive. And Gronk said on TV, I don't even know what show this morning, that he was proud of him. Hey, like, you rose to the occasion. Your moment came to you. And you rose to the occasion. I'm proud of you. He actually said that.
That's horrible.
And he even said, he's like, I know this guy. I went to college with him. And, you know, what I saw last night completely fits the description of who he was in college. Now, if we're all being held to the standards of what we did in college, which thankfully we are not.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to
or
just bury this guy.
Or 20s or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, forget, I wouldn't be here.
How old are they?
I don't know.
It shouldn't matter anyway. Point is, like, everybody makes mistakes.
30s, mid-ish, I'm guessing.
Everybody makes mistakes, but that type of sentiment from Gronk, and I don't think he's alone. Like, I think there were some Yankee fans rallying around him.
Yeah.
These guys. No
way.
That's the wrong. They're maybe not bad people. Yeah. I don't know them, obviously.
I'm sure they're not bad people, but they were very misguided people last night.
They did a stupid thing, and it wasn't just in the moment.
I know.
This was premeditated.
That's the part right there. And that's why.
How do you think that's okay?
It's not, but that's why, and I'm not bringing this to a court of law, but that's why there are, you know, different penalties and steeper grounds when things are deemed premeditated. Because it's worse.
Because you planning this
you
out.
You went through a mental checkpoint and you still decided to go ahead and do it.
Right. If you just act on emotion, sometimes like, I shouldn't have done that. That was a stupid thing.
Yeah.
You know what? The ball was there. I didn't know how to react. I wanted to knock the ball out of his hand. And when you're actually planning it out, like, hey, if this ever happens, we're going to do this and this. And then to do it the way that you did it wasn't even just trying to knock the ball out, which would have been one thing. You were grabbing at Mookie Betts, trying to rip the glove off his hand and rip his bare hand.
And you know where I stand. Not unacceptable, not cool. But I do have to at least on some level say, I mean, the brass balls. I mean, brass stones.
To do that?
I mean, I don't want to, you know, make heroes. I don't think
it was too dumb to realize.
I got you, but like, I think Boomer and Gio love it. I don't love it. I don't like it. I don't accept it, and Yankees shouldn't tolerate it, and they won't. But on the smallest level, it's brass stones, dude.
For what?
For doing what they did.
How is that brass stones?
They actually think they're helping the Yankees out. Again, I'm getting separation from the act. It's unacceptable, but I don't know. It is pretty bold.
I think we have an age on it. According to the guy in the gray shirts, double chin, I think he's about 45 plus.
Come on, Off. You know, you're making fun of his
what?
His weight? I mean, what's wrong with you?
I was just trying to evaluate their age. We were trying to figure it out. They're not kids.
I know that.
And by the way, dude, this is unacceptable on all levels. I don't care how big your stones are.
How
you're
is that
freaking moron?
Yeah,
you're an idiot. You're the dumbest, lowest level of fan base. You might as well just run on the field while you're at it.
Well, that this is worse than as we just talked about.
It definitely is.
I don't see how that has.
I knew that they were around that age because they went to school with.
Okay, right. So that would make sense.
There's no embellishment. Like, I don't. I'm not impressed by it. I'm not, you know, I don't, I'm not lauding it.
Right.
I'm shooting it down. It's awful. It's terrible. It's unacceptable. And it's just an awful representation of who we are, you know, as residents. And one thing to be, you know, gritty, competitive, all for the home team. Come on. Draw a line of separation in the sand. I'm just saying, I think you guys, you and Hoff, are misconstruing what I'm saying because it's not remotely rooted in positivity or admiration. Just saying, if you craft up that kind of plan, which is moronic, and you actually go through it and you execute on a dime the first time that you actually have a chance to do it, you got massive stones. That's all I'm saying.
BT and Sal, we'll finish up with your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019 on The Fan.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Tim is in Staten Island. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, BT. Yes. Yeah, it started yesterday. I had delusional optimism. I got nowhere to go, so I'm coming to you with it, man.
All right.
It's never happened before. It's never happened before because we haven't done it yet. This team is going to do it. Volpe gave us a spark last night. Cole's going to do it tonight. Get on the rocket ship, baby. We're going to the moon.
You know who else is going to be at Game 5 tonight? Mike in Garwood, who won the ticket.
Nice.
BT, Game 5. Mike, you're going to the World Series.
I'm in shock, guys. I can't believe
Mike.
It. Thank you so much.
All right. First of all, Mike, congratulations. This is awesome. What was the first Yankee team you remember watching? Just give me a year.
Oh, I'm 45, so, I mean, I remember probably I was a big Don Mattingly fan.
The right guy won this. Have you ever been to the World Series before?
No, this will be my first time.
Who are you taking?
Yeah, he beat me. Who are you taking?
I'm taking my mom.
Are you married?
Let's go.
I'm married, but she's not a sports fan, so this was a no-brainer.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, until you get home. Well, Mike, enjoy yourself. Good luck. Enjoy the game. Glad that you're taking your mom. Hopefully the Yankees win for you.
I can't wait, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, there you have it. The callers of the day today on BT and Sal. A couple things, BT, before we wrap it up here. Before you give us the BT Golden Touch thing for tonight from the Yankees.
Yep.
As we went over it, Lindor and then Stanton and Volpe last night, you rip him and he probably goes out there and hits a grand slam. So maybe you got it in store for tonight. You could help out the Yankees in Game 5. I just want to mention that, I've knocked Ohtani. Not even knocked Ohtani. Just I didn't like Ohtani. A large part of that is because of the hype that Ohtani's gotten. I mean, calling him Babe Ruth to me was just disrespectful, and there was just no need for it. He could be great in his own right. I have a newfound tremendous respect for Shohei Ohtani.
Okay,
for the fact that you talk about gamers and we talk about how players have evolved. The fact that this guy wouldn't miss a game, the fact that he's playing basically with his arm in a sling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, DH, whatever, as far as the MVP goes and all that stuff. But he's not a prima donna. He's not your typical superstar. This guy's a gamer. Texting his teammates, I'll be in there the night of, before he even knew what was going on.
I heard that.
That's, to me, and the fact that he's playing through pain in the World Series. Ohtani may be a mega superstar, as big a star as there's ever been in the sport, but he also is, at the end of the day, a ball player.
Yeah.
And I respect that as a gamer.
And he's not 25-1. He is, he's his own incredible entity in terms of the appeal and the coverage, but he's one of the guys, man.
Yeah.
You could tell, but he knows a lot more English than he lets on. You can tell by the way he interacts with some of the players.
And stuff. Yeah, you're right. We don't get to see that side of him at least yet.
Yeah, he's one of the guys.
I think just from afar, and I admit, when he's with the Angels, it was certainly before he was in the postseason with the Dodgers, it is from afar, but when you watch him up close and get to know a little bit about the guy, he's a gamer. So
He looks happy. And then again, if I was him, I'd be happy that they decided to look the other way on the betting scandal. So,
understood.
Fast that went away.
Even more relatable. Even more relatable.
Yeah, that's right. He really is one of the guys. We love him.
Right. He's a gamer in more ways than one. Okay. So what do you got for us tonight?
Now, listen, I can't. This has to be organic, right?
Yes.
So I had no idea you were going here. Sal, why don't you just set it up in 10 seconds? Why you even asked me to do this?
Right, basically, beginning of the year, Lindor is finished. He goes on to have an MVP-type year. Before the playoffs, you and I both said, Giancarlo Stanton, he's got to get benched. Maybe this is even after game one. As soon as we say that, Giancarlo Stanton goes on a heater in October once again. You say yesterday, Volpe, I don't know if he's going to be a star. He hits a grand slam as the star of the game last night. A couple steals, right, exactly.
All right, so this stuff can't be contrived. It can't be forced here. I'm going to go to Judge. I was thinking about Gerrit Cole. I got on Gerrit a little bit here. I'm not going to yell at Aaron Judge. I'm not going to scream at Aaron Judge. I'm going to rather gently but definitely implore the big fella to wake up. It's been 13 games, Sal. I mean, it's not four or five. The Royals or early in the Guardians. It's game five of the World Series, man. And this is the last home game, no matter what, for Aaron Judge. And he doesn't owe us anything. I think a lot of Yankee fans are on some level out there like, oh, come on, George, you owe us this. We haven't won since 09, and you're making $300 gazillion, and the prices are expensive. He owes us nothing. He owes us effort, and he owes us character. And we get that every single day from Aaron Judge. Now, what he does, or who he does, owe something, that's himself. I would feel awful for a guy who's been as good as he's been to hit 152 with 20 strikeouts so far in 46 at-bats. So I'm not going to dress this up with, you know, something like that I don't really feel and just make it contrived and start yelling. This guy's the best player I've ever seen. Really. And, you know, you and I have been around long now to where we've seen enough amazing players. And it is time for Aaron Judge to remind Yankee fans, the entire world, that he's Aaron Judge. And it's got to be tonight.
While I don't disagree with that, I don't know if that's enough of the
beefy. You're going to question the motives now.
No. I think what you said is fair. I just don't think that that's in the spirit of the... And you're right, it has to be organic.
Not if enough pressure, meaning
well,
like...
The way that it would work, like, let's just say if you're like, ah, Judge, I mean, this guy, we thought last night he was going to get it going. He can't get it going against the bullpen games. I mean, what? Judge is never going to get it going.
How can he be Reggie if he doesn't have his own moment? Yeah, come on, Reggie. Right. You know what? But I got to do what I feel.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want you to force it.
And there's certain players, not that I don't respect Cole or Volpe, who I was on yesterday, or Lindor or Stanton. Maybe there's just a little more reverence for Judge. But maybe even more than reverence, there's more of an understanding. At least I think how his mind works. He's not going to smash a helmet. He's not going to smash a bat like O'Neill or pound something with his fist, you know, and break it. He's got to go up there, and he's just got to remember who he is. So I can't hype it up. Like I got to be true to this thing. Now they'll be doing Knicks, and we'll be doing other Judge is doing something tonight.
Maybe it could work the other way.
What?
You just said Judge is doing something tonight.
Yep.
And then now Judge maybe we'll see what the BT Golden Touch.
So you're trying to now turn this into a negative. Here's the thing.
I'm just saying maybe it could go because it comes from.
You're rolling deep into the mind games today. No, huh? No, my goodness.
I'm saying it comes from the strong opinion. Yesterday we didn't talk about this. It was a strong opinion, like, and it wasn't even ripping Volpe. You were just saying, I don't think Volpe's going to be the star that we once thought.
And I told you why. I told you based on the approach.
It came naturally.
Yeah.
And then he went out there and had that game. So if naturally tonight, and I don't know, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
But there is no natural, like, oh, this guy's got to get it going. Or this, like, yeah, we know Judge needs to get it going, but you believe that he still could.
I do, because I'm reacting to the way he's taking the baseball right now, his takes.
Correct. You believe that Cole is going to go out there and shove tonight?
Maybe not shove. Give the Yankees, maybe not shove. You know, I'm not going shove.
Right, okay.
You know, stick it a little bit.
Okay.
Not a full shove.
And you believe the Yankees are going to win tonight?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay, so maybe this is a chance, like, to you could amend yourself here.
With
if the Yankees go out there and win and Judge does well and Cole does well, it's like, all right, well, you know what, the Midas touch, the curse of BT, whatever you want to say, that really wasn't anything.
But it's not a curse. I thought the whole thing was that I get people out of their funks.
Right.
So
by
was
accident.
It more the was it more? But I didn't curse them that forced them to go into the slump. I didn't start Lindor's slump. I didn't start Stanton's issues.
No, exactly.
I just got him out of it.
Right.
I didn't start Judge's issues. Right. I'm still going to get him out of it. I'm just going to get a little bit different page of the playbook, buddy.
Okay, so we'll see what happens tonight.
Not everything's got to be a 55-yarder in the air downfield.
I know, I get you it. Know run the ball. I know, sometimes hand it off. Check it down. That works, too. All right, thanks to everybody who listened and everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff as well.
Let's go.
Good luck tonight. Hey, maybe we get a Game 6 in L.A. on Friday night.
7-3 Yankees.
And I'm going to go 8-5 Dodgers.
Yeah, of course you are.
Either way, well, I think it ends tonight. And I've said game 5 before. So
did you ever bet the game 5?
No.
Okay.
I bet the Dodgers before the series, but.
But not in 5.
No.
All right, listen.
I bet them -1.5.
Either way, tomorrow's going to be interesting. Let's go, Yanks.
All right, thanks for listening to WFAN's Yankees Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by Travel Guard. Travel plans don't always go as expected. Protect your journeys with a travel insurance plan from TravelGuard.com. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Either way, Evan and Tiki coming up next from the stadium.
The eyes of the soul to the window. Mm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.